Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. This is Topics with Trish. Today is Thursday, February 16th. Hope everybody had a wonderful love day and that you were able to share some special time with your special someone. We do have our live video feed going through the Facebook group, Your Voice Radio 2017. I shared the link out there, but if you want to go to facebook.com/groups/Your Voice Radio 2017, you'll find it. Or just look up Your Voice Radio Network. It is a public group. Everyone's welcome to join. Everyone's welcome to share their work there. And we've had some great people that I've interviewed over the years who are sharing their work. Christopher Mann with DateSafe Project, Michael Madison, and her incredible artwork. Just to name a few. So thank you for that. Everybody is welcome. If you've got a group, if you've got a nonprofit, if you've got something going on out there that you want people to know about, just go ahead and send it over to the Facebook radio group page. Everyone can post. Everyone can comment. It's not a support group. It is a talk radio group. So your voice matters. And we want to put that out for everyone. On today's show, I put out there that we are going to be discussing some chronic health problems that might actually be related to trauma. And we had kind of gotten on this topic as we covered last Tuesday's shows. But, you know, we were trying to keep it on a love mode, and we wanted to be sure that everybody was understanding. Sometimes when you have a chronic health problem and you're trying to be romantic, doesn't always work out. You got to kind of learn your body, push it when you need to, and try to make that connection, because having that support person there, having that someone that you love there, is very, very important. I think all of us need that, and we miss that when we don't have it. So definitely don't be afraid to try to push yourself a little bit further than you think to try and have some fun, or to just be able to say, yes, you know, I'm here, and I want to be with you. I want to go out to dinner with you. I want to go see a movie with you. Maybe we can think of a million things to do, you know. Go outside and look at the stars together. It doesn't take a whole lot of energy to do that. Okay, so chronic health problems can definitely cause, in fact, they are America's number one problem with early disability and unemployment, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, even though those factors can also increase and worsen your chronic health problems. And I'm not talking about cancer. Cancer is in a group all by itself. If you've got a family friend, a family member, a loved one that's dealing with cancer, that is something that only you and that person know. You know, and other people who have watched it and who have gone through it, they're the only ones that really know whether or not we can actually make it through. But you do, and you show amazing strength through it. So don't stop fighting, and remember that science is always bringing us something. Science is always saying there's more for us to do. there's more for us to learn. Somebody is always questioning, how does this synchronize with this? And what can we do that's going to make this a little bit easier? So, before we get started, I do want to welcome everyone to the Your Voice Radio Network. Again, we are a team of hosts on different timelines and in different locations across the country. And all of us have, myself, 6 years. I know Donna and Lee at least the last 6, maybe 8 years. Dr. Rose on Monday nights, 30 years experience, family education and life empowerment, counseling and consulting. Donna and Lee do the two nanas at noon, the first and third Wednesday of every month, and they are strong advocates, and in fact, they have the organization Advocates United for Humanity. That's the number for humanity. You can find them and Dr. Rose in our radio group. I am so glad that people are calling in to listen to this show. And remember, if you've got a comment, there are two ways you can do it. You can either comment on the live video feed that's in the Facebook radio group. So you can comment there and I will be able to read it. Or you can call me on the radio and we can talk that way. The number for our guests to call in is 929-477-2779. Remember, if you've got a question, you've got something you want to talk about, you've got to press 1. When you call in, press 1 to connect with me so that I can bring you up on the air with me. Still that touch of bronchitis. Smoker's cough. Pardon me. All right. On the Your Voice Radio Network, there's a teamwork effort. We want to bring those topics that are going on in your area, but we can't do that if you're not sharing those topics with us. If there's something that you want to talk about, you can email us directly at radio@yourvoiceradio.one. That is radio@yourvoiceradio.one. O-N-E, not. You'll find our website as well, www.yourvoiceradio.one. Check out a list of our hosts and their programs and what they're doing. It's a work in progress website, so their bios and pictures and, you know, where their focus is and what they want to do is definitely coming. It's something that's being worked on as we speak. I'm glad that we have a watcher out there. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Hopefully this comes across okay. I'm never sure whenever I'm on air what it's like for you, those listening into the show via your phone or your computer, and those watching the video. It could be a problem. I don't know. If it is, somebody let me know. If there's communication problems, if there's technical errors, if there's sound problems, I don't know that when I'm on the air. I don't know it till I hear it on the show afterwards. So if anybody's got any comments, please feel free to post them up there or give me a call, 929-477-2779. This is Topics with Trish, and we're going to get started. We have a lot of material to cover. I did some research. This is a show that I did pretty much back in the, probably a couple years back. I went back and I researched the paperwork that I had on this that I used to prepare the presentation that I give whenever I'm working with direct care workers and foster parents and doing speaking engagements. So there is a lot that is connected to past trauma and stress and violence because of those environments, because of those influences and the sensitivity of our nervous system and our wiring for our brain development, because it is such a sensitive area. These can be crisscrossed and they can be stressed to the max, and they can cause problems in our thinking patterns and our behavioral patterns and our frontal lobe cortex, which is our decision-making patterns, but also throughout our body. And it's linked in many ways. They're finding out that on average, 1 in 10 who have been diagnosed with ADHD actually have early onset PTSD. So that's post-traumatic stress disorder versus the ADHD. So even if we have 1 in 10 of those, and then it's difficult to get that treatment right, and they are putting their kids on medicines. I know that my son, back in the rage, it was all through the 90s, everyone was being diagnosed with ADHD. It was such a massive problem that my youngest daughter's kindergarten teacher told me that if I take her to go get tested, she will definitely be diagnosed, because they, on average, 1 in 5 children during the 90s were diagnosed with ADHD. They had the new medication Ritalin out, and as it happens with our pharmaceutical and our political and our healthcare system, it is very much connected. So if they have a new medicine and the doctors want to start getting kickbacks, they are going to diagnose this medication. If they can, if they find 2 or 3 connecting symptoms that relate to a specific condition that has a new medication out, that doctor will more than likely diagnose you with that problem so that they then get, can, you know, their prescription, they get a printout of what they've prescribed, they get to show it to that pharmaceutical company. That pharmaceutical company then gives them a percentage or a kickback or sends them out on holiday or a big resort or whatever. So doctors are, they get bonuses for this stuff. We can't always rely that they are going to do the right thing for us or for our kids. So I believe it's necessary that we as parents, and as advocates, those dealing with these problems, we need to speak up. If there's someone in our house that's sick, a child who's that we know who's having some behavioral disorders, they're wanting to put them on these medications. First of all, why? What are the symptoms that they see? Where is the paperwork? Tell me how you are diagnosing this, and tell me that this is the right medication. And how do we know about dosages? Everyone's chemical makeup is different yet similar. So the medicine might cause adverse side effects, or it may not be able to do anything for the problem whatsoever. But these conditions, as we go through here, we have fibromyalgia, we have ADHD, we have cognitive functioning, we have digestive, lung and kidney and heart disease. Also, as I said, frontal lobe impairments, and those begin while the child is still developing in the womb. They will continue on, and certain difficulties arise at certain ages. That means, you know, birth through 5, or birth through 4 years old, 5 through 10 years old, 10 through 15, 15 through 18, and so on. So these decisions are influenced by the chemical makeup and the wiring in our nervous system. Yet if we overstress that nervous system relating to our fight or flight syndrome, our fight or flight reaction, our fight or flight stimulus, if we have to keep that in a constant hyper mode, it becomes a freeze situation. And when it freezes, that's when we develop the fibromyalgia symptoms. These can be found in kids as young as 9, 10 years old. If they're complaining of those constant muscle aches in certain areas of the body, if they are complaining of shoulder or centralized back pain between the shoulder blades, if it's muscle pain that comes out and underneath their shoulder blades, if it's constant headaches, there is pressure points just as much as the doctor diagnosed you. This is something you can do for a child. You know, they can tell you if it is a burning pain when they get touched there or if they can hardly feel it. So it's definitely something that I think the more we talk about it, the more those that know about it. I've been blessed to speak to healthcare workers but I'm really, really trying to reach out there further. It's important that if you try to reach the Department of Health and Human Services, they always continue doing research and working on things. People in your state are looking for people that give presentations, that come talk to people about these things, especially the professionals. I was actually asked to speak for the 2015 conference, and then I was contacted 2 weeks before the conference saying that my story, my presentation was too intense and that medical professionals were actually refusing to attend my presentation, not the seminar itself, but particularly my part of the presentation. So I got asked, informed that I wasn't going to be able to speak. It was really one of those shocking times, like, are you kidding me? You know, these are medical professionals, and we are trying to get them to understand to ask the right questions and to focus on the right kind of conditions, using the right kinds of medications, so that if there is trauma, if it is caused by our overactive, sensitive nervous system and by the behavioral impairments that are learned as well as influenced by the condition of our brain, literally the health condition of our brain. If we can teach our kids and teach our medical professionals and teach our parents and educators and those in the community who connect with family, such as churches and family service providers, those kinds of services, we can then get them so that it's working in a larger community level to actually bring this and make sure that people who need those services, my connection's weak on my phone, and I know that it's because I've got different things working here, so I do apologize. I'm trying to adjust it. I know that the video goes fuzzy. Just hang in there. We're going to go ahead and keep moving along. The first article, the first diagnosis that we are going to get to is an article that I found. This is with the National Institute of Health.gov, and it is the Scholarly Articles Diagnosing and Managing Complicated ADHD. This was written up by Prime Care Companion J. Clin Psychiatry in 2008. Doctors are Robert Feinling, Eugene Arnold, Lawrence Greenhill, Christopher Kratochvil, and James McGow. Anyway, okay, so the purpose for this study, diagnosis and management of complicated attention deficit hyperactive disorder. This is to help clinicians distinguish ADHD from other more problematic psychiatric disorders and to compare strategies of pharmacological and non-pharmacological for managing the complicated ADHD. So the first factor that they look at here is that with complicated ADHD, sometimes it can be a complication of another primary disorder. Disorders that commonly co-occur sometimes may even be mistaken for ADHD are conduct oppositional defiant disorder, anxiety in kids, depressive disorder in kids, bipolar disorder in kids, as well as substance abuse disorders. All of these can co-occur and can be misdiagnosed as well. You know, the one of the first few that they had listed there, both anxiety and depressive disorders, those are key to a post-traumatic stress situation. So for those 1 in 10 kids that are being misdiagnosed with ADHD and they actually have PTSD, then, you know, we need to make sure that they're getting the type of care that they need. However, the complication to that is if they are in a PTSD environment still to this day and nobody is addressing the home environment, and the nobody, you know, educators may not even know what kids are on these medications or what type of ADHD, PTSD, fibromyalgia, chronic pain disorders they might be dealing with. So, you know, and when you've got 30 kids in a classroom and you've got one teacher, it's really hard to connect with each and every kid and keep up with, okay, what meds are they taking? What's their home life like? What's their homework pattern like? Because you can tell in their homework pattern, are they getting it done? Are they able to concentrate and get the right answers? Are they behaving in the classroom? Can they follow basic instructions? Or are they the kid that never, ever speaks, never, ever causes a problem? And then whenever I address them, they get suddenly terrified and they freeze. Okay, that is a child in an anxiety, high stress, possibly traumatic home. It could be abusive. There could be drug use. There could be violence between the parents. This could be so many different problems that are arising. But yet, they put them under one label, and you take them into the doctor, and they've got this new medication, and okay, your teen is being disruptive. We are going to start them off right away with a diagnosis and a label of ADHD rather than see if we can help them and talk to them privately about what's going on at home. Because if you've got the wrong parents and the wrong family in this environment with these kids, it's going to be really hard for this kid to get the right kind of help and to be able to be provided with the medical care that they deserve to have. Going on in the discussion of ADHD as relating to the misdiagnosis and early conditions of early onset PTSD, maybe even early fibromyalgia. Again, anxiety, depressive, and bipolar substances abuse disorders are all factors. Another factor which complicates ADHD is quote unquote, a child's social situation. And it says here, physicians tend to be preoccupied with reducing symptoms via medication, but often fail to recognize the context in which the behavior is being exhibited. And although ADHD may not be primarily driven by environmental factors, sometimes clinicians fail to recognize severe family chaos, parental discord, abuse, and other issues of psychological distress that can have an impact on a child, which can create a complicated presentation and possibly misdiagnosed of ADHD. Abuse is an important issue to recognize. The abuse and ADHD factor have a higher than expected overlap. These could be bidirectional. Children with ADHD sometimes have to invite abuse by their behavior. Impatient people who don't know how to deal with an ADHD child or who can't seem to manage that child's reactions and behaviors and learn calming techniques to work with them or ways to distract them. This can definitely lead to a parent or a babysitter or a caregiver getting and overreacting to or becoming violent or mistreating, locking the child in a room, so on and so forth. So having ADHD could be the result of this stressed environment, or it could bring about that abuse and distress environment. The PTSD can be mistaken because children may be distant and fail to pay attention, as well as having interference with their cognitive functioning. Again, PTSD causes that problem with your cognitive functioning, as well the early brain development, and we'll get into that because I've got an article on brain development relating to the violence that or discord or abuse or whatever you want to call it that happens while the baby is in early development. Remember, if you've got any questions, you can comment while you're watching the video, which I can then share those comments online. If you've got a question that you want to jump to, or if you want to call me live in the studio, the studio number is 929-477-2779, and just press 1 whenever you hear the prompt, and it will connect you so that I can bring you live on the air with me. Again, the only commenting area we have available, because I can't do the chat room and the video chat, is the live video feed in the facebook.com/groups/yourvoiceradio2017. You'll find it there. So going back to where we were in discussing ADHD, and the many often overlapping symptoms of other distress and disorders which are not being addressed because there is the behavioral problem that is causing school problems and grade problems and behavioral problems and just so many other problems. So nobody ever says to the kid, you know, what's going on at home? Can you tell me? They just want this kid on medication, calm my child down. And when they're in those difficult situations and nobody else is paying attention, teachers are not notified, the school is not notified, they're not repeatedly taken into the doctor for regular checkups or assigned to work with the therapist, then guess what? Nobody's ever going to be able to talk to that kid, and they're going to be taking this medication that kind of numbs you out to calm you down, to make you sit quiet and to make you not have thoughts and opinions, to make you not be afraid. But that doesn't change what's going on around you. And those kids are being left out by being misdiagnosed with ADHD as opposed to being diagnosed with the proper problem, which could be and more than likely is related to an environmental social situation. All right, so leaving ADHD, we are going to go into the understanding of effects of maltreatment on brain development. And this is where that crisscross wiring comes in, even that affecting our fight, which is where the fibromyalgia and the anxiety and the chronic pain and the tobacco use disorders and drug abuse disorders and all of those other use disorders are coming to the surface. When you are in a high-stress environment, if your parents didn't get along while your mom was pregnant and your dad pushed or yelled or shoved or something happened to your mom, your developing central nervous system got crisscrossed. And the information that was should have developed normally, in fact, get slightly impaired. Now that can be adjusted, no problem, if you are living in a healthy home. However, if you're not in a healthy home, if your parents aren't such healthy people and are still violent with each other or always arguing, or you see people hitting each other in the family, this is your safe place. This is your home. And you are growing up as a kid. And they're wondering why you misbehave all the time and why aren't you listening to me? And I'll give you something to cry about. They're not connecting the fact that that stressful environment is, in fact, already rewiring the brain matter and the frontal lobe cortex in the future attention and learning skills, social skills, behavioral skills of their child in first grade and in fifth grade and in eighth grade when they get to be high schoolers, and the temptations that they have for being led astray by the other kids living in that same type of environment. If you can't tell, I talk a lot with my hands, so I'm sure that this is going to be some interesting video. I do apologize. Okay, so this is a PDF put out in April 2015, looking at the, this is by the Center for Disease and Control, and this is affecting maltreatment on brain development. I'm not going to go through the whole document. It's way too much. You know, our brain has the brain stem, and then we have the midbrain. Then we have the limbic system, and then we have the cortex. The cortex is abstract thought. It is concrete thought. It is affiliation. It is attachment. It is sexual behavior, emotional reactivity, motor regulation, arousal, stimulation, appetite, sleep. We have measures of the brain that control our blood pressure and our heart rate and even our body temperature. So all of these, if your brain cortex is being affected during the fetal development, when neurons are created and they migrate to form the various parts of the brain, if these are in fact disrupted by the by an act happening to you or to your mother while you're in the womb, it can begin to affect you. Even worse, though, is, of course, afterbirth, because from the moment you were born, your brain kicks into gear. It controls that heart rate. It controls that cry. It controls that sense of cold, that sense of warmth, the hunger, the breathing, the sleeping. We cannot function without our brain working. So if, in fact, we are, you know, healthy environments and we are feeding our children information and we are teaching them and we are helping them, they can do amazing things. That's why you see these geniuses that are out there. I know a young man, young teenager, left a traumatic situation to go to another environment, loves the school where he's at, making friends, but there's still that effect of that behavioral, negative behavioral environment, and trying to stabilize himself in this new healthy environment, you know, and the lack of health care and not getting care, that type of thing is all, of course, factoring in. What I want to get to here is that there are our bodies reacting to different types of stress, positive stress. The National Scientific Council on the Developing Child in 2014 outlines three classifications of stress. Stress can be positive stress. Positive stress can be moderate, brief, and generally just a normal part of life. Entering a new child care center environment, adjusting to a new type of situation, your first boyfriend, your first girlfriend, your first kiss, these, you know, even your first argument with someone, these are your first and these are moderate, brief, part of normal life stressful situations. Then they have tolerable stress. Tolerable stress includes events that have the potential to alter the developing brain negatively, but which occur infrequently enough and give the brain time to recover. These are enduring a tornado, maybe a violent home attack once by a stranger, not something that happens over and over and over and over again. Then we have toxic stress. This is where the damage is being done. If you live in a toxic, stressful environment, instead of your normal daily life stress, instead of that even tolerable stress level, if you've gone through something horrible, witnessed a shooting, school violence, it happened one time, or maybe when you were 5, something happened, and when you were 10, something happened, but it happened one time, and you were able to heal, and you were able to get through it. Toxic stress includes strong, frequent, prolonged activation of the body's stress response system, chronic neglect of a child, chronic violence, yelling, screaming, fighting, sexual harm. These, you know, seeing your parent on a bad drug such as meth or heroin. These are definitely difficult things. And when they happen every day for us, our body gets rewired. And, of course, our brain goes through its changes. And we learn to actually live in the most occurring environment. So if your life is mostly positive, you're going to do well and you're going to have relatively healthy developing life. However, if your life starts out and is toxic, more than likely, you're going to have problems breaking away from those negative behaviors and those health conditions. Behavioral conditions and brain impairment functions that are going to be there with you problems doing math, problems understanding science, breaking down sentences, and remembering the language that you need to graduate and start business communications, looking for a job, presenting yourself well for an interview. All of this is connected. And how you view yourself, your self-image of you, has a lot to do with the health care and the type of health conditions that you have to deal with. So in these many types of stressful environments, there are different levels of brain damage. And in the development, when you have the complicated social interactions, this is toxic stress, alters the brain development in ways that make interaction with others more difficult. Children or youth with toxic stress may find it more challenging to navigate social situations and adapt to changing social contexts. They may perceive threats whenever they are, in fact, in a safe situation. They react instead of calmly and thoughtfully make the right choices. I mean, they're all teenagers. My goodness gracious. They're all kids. All right. So that is enough on the types of stress. So you've got three. Remember, there are three types of stress: positive stress, tolerable stress, toxic stress. If you are under constant toxic stress, you are going to unfortunately have the toxic results from that. All right. Let's go on to our next publication. And this is from the Centers for Disease. And this is in the violence prevention, child maltreatment consequences. The just a few that they list very quickly off the top. First of all, 1 in 4 children suffer some type of abuse. And in 2014, they have documented 702,000 cases of victims of abuse and neglect. And I can prove to you, as I said before, 1 in 9 are suffering possible trafficking issues, 1 in 3 sexual abuse. Okay, in these negative toxic environments and the health conditions that are a result of this, there is, of course, the improper brain development, impaired cognitive, which is our learning ability, and socio-emotional, social and emotional skills, the lower language development. I don't use big words. I don't study big words. And I'm sure that, you know, lots of other people out there don't use big words. I talk common English. I always worked in business, business communications. But, you know, it when you're talking to a person about these kinds of things and about what's going on in their life, problem is that those living in a toxic environment have a lower learning ability, so a lower language development. Blindness and possible cerebral palsy from some type of head trauma. Higher risk for heart, lung, and liver diseases, obesity, cancer, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, anxiety, smoking, alcoholism, and drug abuse. Now, those are just the ones in the top seven of the CDC's study and publication about what effects actually have and concerning our health. All right, so going on, I'm going to check in with the studio real quick here. Again, if anyone would like to give me a call, 929-477-2779. If anyone that's watching would like to comment, please do. You can leave your comments there, and I will be more than happy to address them. If it is a health-related issue, if it is a chronic pain issue, we are going to get into the sympathetic nervous system now and how this relates to chronic pain and fibromyalgia disorders during the last 15 minutes of the show here. All right. This is a publication, Pain Research and Treatment, published in 2012. Fibromyalgia, when distress becomes unsympathetic pain. Because it is related to our sympathetic nerve system is what I believe they call it. I'm going to share this article over to the radio group because it's really, really a great one for everyone to review here. I want everyone to have this. Give me just a sec. Okay. So, fibro and our fight or flight response connected to chronic sympathetic pain. Sorry about that. I hate quiet time whenever I am supposed to be on the air. All right. Getting that article out to everyone in the Facebook radio group so that you can absolutely check this out for yourself. It's very interesting. And, you know, just reading through these documents can really help you understand how the doctors are looking at this. And a lot of the doctors don't know this information. So if you take it into them, you've got proof. Hey, this is my document. And this is what the pain research and treatment part of the National Institute of Health is studying and what they are finding about our sympathetic nerve system related to fibromyalgia and the chronic stress syndrome, toxic stress. It says, you know, fibromyalgia is a painful stress-related disorder. A key issue in fibromyalgia research is to investigate how distress could be converted into pain. The sympathetic nervous system is the main element of the stress response system. In the physical trauma, infection, distressing noise, these can produce or induce abnormal connections between the sympathetic nervous system and the non-susceptive system. See, told you, lower language ability, right? Okay. The mechanisms are very similar as to how they operate fibromyalgia. Signs of the sympathetic hyperactivity have been described in this condition. Genetic factors and or distressful lifestyle may lead to the state of sympathetic hyperactivity. Trauma and infection are recognized fibromyalgia triggers. Women who suffer from fibromyalgia have evoked pain disorder. Sympathetic dysfunction may also explain non-pain related fibromyalgia symptoms. Fibromyalgia distress could be converted into pain through forced hyperactivity of the sympathetic component of the stress response system. In other words, somebody messing with my fight or flight response, somebody who is toxic and creating that toxic environment, and all of a sudden, you know, you stress out. Or maybe you walk into the grocery store and you see somebody that reminds you of somebody and your body tenses up. And while I'm doing these radio shows, I can feel it in my shoulders and down my spine and in the back of my head. I have chronic migraines, and I've got not only is my sympathetic nervous system an absolute disaster, but of course I have the syringomyelia, which are the cysts that form inside of the spinal canal from being hit hard enough that it bruised my actual spinal canal where my fluid is. So I've got a fluid flow problem, and I get migraines, and I got a lot of down days. And when you live in these chronic health conditions or behavioral problems or come from that toxic environment, you end up, you know, if you don't keep yourself going and keep your mind distracted, you know, and put your therapy in its place so that you can still go on with life and work, and do what you need to do, then you are going to end up, your body wears out and your body gets old. It increases our aging process, to where, you know, our body wears out faster. We smoke too much, so our lungs wear out. Our kidneys wear out. This is all stress-related factors. Fibromyalgia, especially if you've got other chronic conditions, just the stress of dealing with those conditions every day can trigger and cause a heightened sympathetic nerve reaction, which is that burning sensation that goes through your body. And is, in fact, whenever you touch the muscle of your thighs or your upper neck and it hurts so bad you can't even take it, or, you know, in your biceps, in your triceps, and you've got that pressure point, or, you know, in your gut, you know, down in your pelvic area, but especially just above the knees, if the muscles are real tight there and knotted up, this is what's causing that burning sensation, and it causes that heightened sensitivity reaction and increases that fibromyalgia. So chronic pain treatment is looking at the entirety. Maybe you are 20 years old. Maybe you are 9 years old. Maybe you are 50 years old or whatever. And, you know, if it's not from a specific injury such as a torn rotator cuff or a busted head injury, something like that, broken leg, then you are definitely dealing with a situation where the fibromyalgia and other pain problems, migraines, digestive disorders, behavioral and thought and depression and anxiety are all related to your life's journey. So my advice, and I've attended many trainings, and I've worked alongside many, many experts, but my best advice for anyone, if you are dealing with a heightened body tensing situation, one, get in a hot bubble bath and just soak and just relax. You can use marijuana as a relaxation. If it really triggers you, then please don't. But you can use it for that relaxation point. A glass of red wine is always good for the heart and the circulation, to sit in quiet with maybe a glowing candle or maybe a melting wax, the scented wax things. Put yourself in that peaceful place. If nothing else, at least whenever your body is getting tensed out, because that means something is triggering this. You may not even know what it is. Sit down and grab yourself a pencil and a little notebook and start making a list of the things that are going on in your life. If I've noticed when I write an article, when I get ready to do a show, when I write a blog, when I am preparing for a presentation, I've noticed that when I'm focusing and I'm writing even about what I'm going to talk about, I start getting worked up. And my body starts tensing up. It causes a stress reaction for me to even actually talk about the information that is causing the stress reaction. But by letting that out, I'm releasing that out of my body. I'm taking the thoughts, I'm taking the negativity, and I'm putting it down on pencil and paper, and I'm saying, okay, this is what I know for real is real in my world. Because every one of us are different. Each and every one of us have a different situation that we've gone through. Each and every one of us have a different level of resilience and being able to combat chronic pain. Some of us need more medication than others. Never knock anyone because you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they've had to deal with. And if you are judging them because they don't look sick, that is a result that shows who you are, not who they are, because they are just trying to cope. Maybe they're out with friends and they are having drinks with somebody and they're trying to keep a smile on their face. So maybe they have two or three drinks and you want to sit over there and knock them. What are they doing out and about? Why are they having these drinks? Guess what? Maybe they need those couple of drinks or maybe they need that interaction. But nobody has the right to judge you because nobody can say what you have gone through and how. That voice, that reminding voice that my show is over. But anyway, nobody has a right to judge you. And judging people is what keeps us from respecting people and appreciating who they are. So on that note, time for me to get out of here. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you. God bless. I hope that you like the video shows along with the radio shows. Tell your friends. I like doing these kinds of shows. I'm getting used to them. And the more we do them, the better off we can get. And I think that we've got some great topics coming up. I look forward to bringing you more discussions. Let's see. Coming up Monday is Dr. Rose's show at 7:30 p.m. Please don't miss it. First and third Wednesday. Tune in us at noon. So have a great day, everyone. Love you. God bless. Be well and live strong. Thank you.